News Talk, AM 1130. 103.5 FM on your smart speakers at home. It makes him even smarter. Also on the iHeartRadio app, we have talkbacks to share with you. Let's run through some of these. First, let's hear from our friend of the show, Tom, wants to talk about Dems taking over here in the state.
Morning, guys. There was a time I took some consolation in Democrats taking full control because, well, at least now they own it. But lately, they don't seem to own anything. Look at the major cities in the U.S., almost universally controlled by Democrats, universally abject failures. How do you reason with people who double down on demonstrably failed policies?
Yeah, it's distressing. And I'm with you on that thought that, well, the Democrats now own this. They own whatever they push forward. But the problem is that what we've seen happen in the country and where we are economically, even here in the state, it simply doesn't matter. Until the GOP can get better control of the process and take advantage of what the Democrats have been able to do in our elections, they can pretty much do whatever they want, and and they'll continue to win until we can get on board how we maximize early voting or get rid of it, keep ranked choice voting from spreading further than it has. Talking with Rob Dorf from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus a moment ago on a couple of different issues. We'll get to a red flag law talk back here in a moment. But also, and this is something I'll get into here this hour, about this Respect for Marriage Act. And I've been hesitant in the past to use the slippery slope argument. But we've reached a point now where we've just seen too many examples among a multitude of issues where the slippery slope has come into place. And I can't ignore that line of thinking anymore.
Hey, John, keep in mind, slippery slope is another term for unintended or unexpected consequences.
Good point.
And it's designed to keep people from thinking through some of the actions that they're about to take. So don't let people sway you from the slippery slope argument. That's just a misdirect. They don't want you thinking through the consequences of some of this legislation or their own actions. Thanks.
Fantastic point. Thank you for the talk back. And I believe we also have a comment on the red flag laws as well.
Red flags laws do not work unless you have every firearm registered in the country. That's what they're looking for.
One more gun piece with regard to that. I was going to hold this, but it's relevant. There's a piece from the American Experiment, and it talks about what we should be doing as it relates to our rising crime. Gun crime offenders and our court system's anemic response. As the gun control debate heats up again, it's important to stay focused on what's the real issue should be, holding gun crime offenders accountable. The left doesn't want to do that. It doesn't fit into their plans. It doesn't fit into their agenda. And so far, the voters have said they don't have to. Conservatives know and should not waver from the fact that legal gun owners are overwhelmingly responsible and law-abiding. If we are serious, our focus should be on the issues that negatively impact our own public safety. We should be able to agree that gun crime offenders belong at the top of our public safety concerns. Unfortunately, our liberal state criminal justice system has failed to hold gun offenders accountable. This lack of accountability is revealed in the gun-related cases of three young men over the past 1.5 years. Money Bailey, also known as just Money, 21 years old, and twin brothers Quantes and Cortez Ward, both 19 years old. The timeline of activity is convoluted, but not because it's particularly complicated, but because the three are prolific in their gun crime activity. Sadly, despite several opportunities to do so, the state district courts failed to detain these men or hold them accountable for their serious crimes. The courts have no excuse for not connecting these dots and protecting law-abiding citizens from dangerous offenders such as these. Unfortunately for Minnesotans, the court system's anemic response to the activity of these men did not keep us safe. Arguably, in the long run, it didn't do the men any favors. So let me just give you the details of what actually took place. There's a long timeline of the events that prove that the judicial cycle of a lack of prosecution and incarceration led to more crime and harm to the citizens. So on January 17th of 2022, the Minneapolis police received information that Money and the Ward brothers were in a vehicle and all three had firearms. The police located the vehicle in North Minneapolis and attempted to stop it. Money was driving, but instead of stopping, he fled the police and ended up ramming a squad car head on. Money and Quantes fled on foot before being arrested while Cortez was arrested in the vehicle. Cortez and Quantes were each found to be in possession of handguns with extended magazines and switches that made them fully automatic machine guns. Money was found to be in possession of a handgun with an extended magazine. All three ended up being booked into Hennepin County Jail, and the cases were submitted to the Hennepin County's Attorney's Office. Then the story here, and you can go to AmericanExperiment.org, the center of the American Experiment, AmericanExperiment.org. You can see the detailed timeline for yourself. I'll share with you some of the points from this, though. While arrested in April of 2022, they were released on bail from two previously discussed cases. Money went out and shot a man in St. Paul and fled the area. Police began an investigation in that case. In March, 4 days after being sentenced to home monitoring, Cortez was pulled over with Quantes by the Maple Grove police. With a loaded pistol, it was seized during the stop. Hennepin County issued a probation violation warrant on both them and Cortez. He went to a judge in about a week later and was released with no bail and continued conditions of remaining law-abiding, not possessing guns, etc. It doesn't appear Quantes faced any repercussions at all for his gun seizure as he went out and committed more crime. St. Paul police later that month executed a search warrant on Money's residence and vehicle. They seized two handguns, one fully automatic, a drum magazine, and ammunition. Time and time again, these individuals were taken to court and they were released. Money was arrested and charged in Ramsey County Court with possession of a machine gun, second-degree assault for shooting a man in April. Money was afforded a $100,000 bond. Then he posted the $100,000 bond and was released from the Ramsey County Jail. There is no record that Hennepin County took any action against his condition release from the January weapon and fleeing case. In July, police executed another search warrant on the residence of Cortez and Quantes. Multiple firearms and ammunition were seized. In an interview with police, Quantes admitted to being a member of a North Minneapolis street gang and having committed at least 5 drive-by shootings as a member of the gang. And again, it continues to go on and on. They go to jail. They post bail. They're back out on the streets again. Not fully prosecuted to the extent they could have been, and certainly not incarcerated in the same way. The article goes on to say, anyone who's bought into the narrative that we over-incarcerate should reread the above timeline. Multiple courts had several opportunities to incarcerate these men, incapacitate these men through incarceration. The state district courts in Hennepin and Ramsey counties failed each and every time. It is yet to be seen at the federal courts will hold the wards accountable with actual prison time. Sadly, there are far too many similar stories in Minnesota. At a time of elevated violence in our state, it's inexcusable for our court system to be failing us time after time. This is your social justice. Talked about this yesterday with what the Minneapolis City Council wants to do with their advisory board as it relates to disciplinary actions against law enforcement and how they want to make sure there's no law enforcement officers on the citizens board at all. They don't want the other view. No, they want a social justice system of justice. It'll be review boards until they can get more of what they want down the road. Again, the slippery slope. The entire criminal justice system, police, prosecutors, courts, corrections, and the Sentencing Guidelines Commission should be coordinating to ensure all tools are being used to hold gun offenders accountable through prolonged incarceration. Until we do, those advocating for gun control can take a seat. But they won't. And with the DFL trifecta coming into play, they will do everything they can to push through what we were talking about with Rob Doerr earlier in the show from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. All right, let's get into this. Fantastic piece from Stella Morabito. The Respect for Marriage Act lets the government establish a permanent presence in our personal life while redefining our relationships. Look, marriage is an institution that exists to allow for a structured society and the protection of children. What we're seeing right now is the destruction of our structured society and the lack of protection of our children. The stories that we cover every day here on the show, that we witness daily, right? Fluidity, exploitation of children in advertisements, right? Exposures to adult men dressed as women and the normalization of sexualization. No matter how you define marriage, there is zero respect for it in the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. Right, Stella? You may believe it serves to federally codify the Supreme Court's decision that rejected marriage as a male-female union. Maybe it would do so temporarily, but that's not the end game. If you're paying attention, you can see that the Senate's recent vote on H.R. 8404 puts us one step closer to abolishing state recognition of marriage entirely. That's where the train or the slope that is slippery is heading. This will happen in the same way that such things always happen, through a demonization campaign that frames skeptics as bigots who are guilty of discrimination. That's how you get Democrat pliable Republicans like Mitt Romney, Supreme Court justices like Anthony Kennedy to sign on. That's how you manufacture a public opinion cascade warning average Americans that they'll be pummeled with lawsuits and ostracism if they dare think out loud. And that's how Democrats in Congress are likely in the not too distant future to make the case that marriage actually comes with privileges that discriminate against the unmarried. Welcome to your Marxism here in America. Once they've gotten to that point, congressional Democrats will doubtless push us to agree that marriage is a discriminatory institution. We'll start seeing more anti-marriage initiatives supported by singles, millennials, and Gen Z, all well-groomed. Oop, can't say that anymore. Remember, that's a derogatory word now. Can't say groomed. No, you can still say groomed. It's fine. Just because somebody says it's derogatory doesn't mean that it is.
I had my dog groomed. Oops.
Thankfully, Artemis has really short hair, so it's not a whole lot of grooming.
I was just gonna ask you about Artemis.
Yeah, very, very short. Very short hair.
Yeah, I'm sure. Very, very self-contained.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. When she gives me a hug when I'm home, I still get just hair all over me. It doesn't matter.
Does she shed once or twice a year?
Sure. I mean, all dogs do.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a normal dog. She's a special dog that does no shedding at all.
Okay. She's super dumb.
Yes. Back to the point here. Again, we're starting to see more anti-marriage initiatives supported by singles, millennials, Gen Z, all well-groomed for the moment by teachers, unions, academia, and media. And listen, we had stories, week before last, about just the decline in the birth rate. Why do you think that's happening? Look at what's happening in our schools right now. As the adults tell the children, the minors, don't talk to your parents. You don't need to tell. You come to me and talk to me. You don't need to tell your parents about this. You had elected officials out there saying that children could be killed by their parents if they were to go home and tell them about their gender fluidity. They'll fall for the pitch that we can all just write up domestic partnership contracts instead. Marriage would then become nothing but a legal relationship, a contract between two or more people for any purpose at all. Under a system that abolishes state recognition of marriage, the family could no longer exist autonomously or unmolested by the state. How could it if the state no longer recognizes marriage as the foundation of a family unit? The government would have no requirement to recognize religious rights of marriage as valid. Thus, it would meddle more deeply in religion and religious communities that recognize the bonds of kinship through blood ties. And it'll be selective in how it does it, too. Whatever's most politically advantageous for the left, that's who they'll go after, because the left has been doing that to religion for decades. Look at those coexist stickers. Mm-hmm. If we continue down this path, the government will no longer have to recognize any biological relationships. It need not recognize any legal right you might have as a parent of your biological child, and why should it? It would have already abolished its recognition of the union that produced the child. And the groundwork's already being laid. You know it and I know it. I'll have more details on this coming up here in just a moment. Also, you got to hear this audio from Tulsi Gabbard going after Biden for helping to drive the increase in what's been happening to these girls, these minor girls with these destructive surgeries. It's all coming up on Twin Cities.
Ben.
That's the phone number. Running through this fantastic piece from Stella Morabito. If marriage can mean anything, it will soon mean nothing. Responding to the Respect for Marriage Act, she says, it lets the government establish a permanent presence in our personal life while we redefine our relationships. And again, this gets back to an idea that marriage is an institution that exists to allow for a structured society and the protection of children. And while this Respect for Marriage Act purports to go and protect that. The reality is it is a slippery slope potentially to this abolishing of the family, which is what the left has been moving towards. We're seeing it in so many different venues right now across the country, especially as it relates to our young people. I have a fantastic piece of audio from Tulsi Gabbard I want to share with you in just a moment. We do have a talk back on this, though. Maybe.
It starts in schools with the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and critical race theory, and now they're calling it social emotional learning. They don't hold anybody accountable, and that continues up through the ranks and into our court system. You get what you put in, and we've been putting crap into the schools, and we're getting crap out.
Yeah, getting further into this piece, again, you may believe it serves to federally codify the Supreme Court's decision that rejected marriage as a male-female union. Maybe it would do so temporarily, but that's not the end game. If you're paying attention, the recent vote on this bill puts us one step closer to abolishing state recognition of marriage entirely. That's where the train is heading, according to what Stella Morabito says. And this will happen the way such things always happen, through a demonization campaign that frames skeptics as bigots who are guilty of discrimination. You get further into the piece, and it says, if we continue on this path, again, the government will no longer have to recognize biological relationships. Why should it? It will have already abolished its recognition of the union that protects a child. Some of this process has already been completed through gender-neutral language in documents like passports, birth certificates, or the rules of the 117th Congress that do not recognize the words mother, father, son, or daughter. Much of the groundwork is also been laid by surrogacy and abortion laws that treat children as chattel to buy, sell, and dispose of at will. And why would the state have to recognize any other relationships resulting from marriage if it no longer recognizes marriage? And this is where the conversation that we had last hour with Rob Dorf from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, my take on this, not his. We were just getting his opinion on the push for red flag laws here in Minnesota with the upcoming legislative session in January. Part of what the DFL Representative Pinto had to say was talking about, well, if it's immediate family, you don't have to worry about transferring guns to one person or another and going through background checks. But if it's a second cousin, you may not know what their background is. Well, this is where this comes into play. Why would a state have to recognize other relationships resulting from marriage if it no longer recognizes marriage? And you look at that from the angle of red flag laws, and suddenly immediate family is gone in terms of importance as it relates to bills and your right to keep and bear arms. It could ignore your blood relationships to brother, sister, aunt, uncle, or any family bond. In this scenario, you'd likely need a license to raise your own child. An old communist goal that the so-called Respect for Marriage Act conjures up. Indeed, there is no reason to doubt that the Respect for Marriage Act serves as a midwife to the radical left's long-held goal of abolishing the state's recognition of marriage. It will allow the government to regulate our relationships, rendering each of us naked before its power. And there's a reason why you've had Republicans. You had some 12 Republicans in the Senate go and sign off on this. The public is wholly misinformed and ignorant as it relates to what I'm laying out here via this article from Stella Morabito. It's designed, again, if you push back against this, you're a bigot. And you have those that are serving in Congress, and you have Senate Republicans. You have House Republicans who also aren't looking at it from this lens or are too afraid to, because they're afraid that they'll be labeled in a certain way, especially when you have and had elections that still need to be won. It's not a pass on them by any stretch of the imagination, but it tells you how complicated it is and how well the left is playing this game currently. We are each being set up for a pre-arranged marriage with big government operating as our abusive spouse, she writes. The path to human atomization is the natural arc of all totalitarian systems in the making. They must always first isolate people in order to control them through terror. Gee, what do we see happening right now in China? Hannah Arendt noted in her work, The Origins of Totalitarianism, tyrants always mask their intentions. by borrowing from tradition, using words like respect for marriage, love, or equality, as much as they march us all into virtual solitary confinement. Or in the sake of China, they weld you into your homes. It's a long-standing vision of all totalitarian systems, which first came into the open with the Communist Manifesto's proclamation, abolish the family. Communists referred to the traditional religion as the opiate of the people, while setting up communism as a pseudo-religion that demanded unquestioning loyalty. Such deceptions are why Schumer and company talk about marriage as though the government has some sort of litmus test for love. But anyone with half a brain knows that love's got nothing to do with the functioning state's interest in marriage. Of course, we easily forget such facts while living in a nation that increasingly promotes infanticide, assisted suicide, recreational drug use, child pornography, and other ways to torture and kill our children. In fact, virtually all of their policy positions are tailor-made for a family breakdown, community breakdown, and for hostility towards religious communities. But the destruction of bonds of affection and loyalty in the private spheres of life makes sense from the point of view of statists. These loyalists get in the way of their ambitions for power and social engineering, and they're invested in isolating us so that we become dependent on them. It's frightening, but it's happening. And it's a very, very slow burn and walk towards what the left wants. The good news is we still have a chance to push back on it. You got Justin Trudeau in Canada who's finally coming out and talking about what's happening in China and on the side of the protesters, as they're previously showing some concern for the protests taking place in China. Look, there's a fight to be had, make no mistake. But there's a lot of education that needs to happen before we're able to thwart what's coming and the left's desire to go abolish the family. The talkbacker was right. It's happening in our schools right now. Because they're able to infiltrate our homes by infecting the minds of the students that they're indoctrinating now. It's no longer a question anymore of our kids being indoctrinated in our schools. It really is a question of just how much are we going to allow it, because it is happening. Former Democrat Congresswoman, on a related note, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, recently called out President Joe Biden for his role in helping to advance the radical woke agenda that has resulted in the tragic mutilization of thousands of children. Here's what she had to say.
Research paper that was recently published to the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics show that there has been a 389% increase in children receiving mastectomies from 2016 through 2019. I want to say that again. Children receiving mastectomies. The UCLA School of Law's Williams Institute published a study that found the number of transgender youth in America has doubled in just the past 5 years. And when you look at these statistics, you got to realize that this is not an accident. This didn't just happen. This is very intentional, and it's the consequence of this radical agenda that is being pushed on our kids. They're rejecting the existence of objective reality by rejecting this most fundamental truth of the differences between a biological male and female. Now, even as there are no long-term studies on the effects of these dangerous treatments on our kids, those in power in government and so-called medical professionals continue to push them. Many of the standard protocols that they are pushing include puberty blockers and hormones, some of which were just recently flagged by the FDA because of their plausible link to serious brain disorder, cognitive problems. Now, that hasn't stopped President Biden from going and telling parents that, quote, affirming your child's identity is one of the most powerful things you can do to keep them safe.
To parents of transgender children, affirming your child's identity is one of the most powerful things you can do to keep them safe and healthy.
Oh, my gosh. We're marching towards oblivion. And look, what's happening to our children, it's a step forward destroying, as we've been talking about, the family. And there is immense power for the left when that happens. If you missed the conversation that we had in the 8 o'clock hour, right around this time yesterday, with Pete Hegseth from Fox News, I encourage you to go and check out the podcast from yesterday's show and listen to that conversation. We got into this briefly. Because you can You can say, and rightfully so. I mean, this happens. It takes place in the home, right? If you're talking about minors, you're talking about school kids. They're still going to, you know, to a place where adults are raising them, whether it's their parents, adopted or guardians. And so this still takes place in the home. Unfortunately, the left has been able to go and infiltrate their minds and infect that. And not only that, but, you know, social media is a huge, big part of this as well. I want to share with you some points from Dr. Jordan Peterson talking about social media and media platforms contributing to the pollution of public discourse. I mean, this gets into the social influence of what's been happening with our kids as well. Plus, we'll look to the Dutch. We have another reason not to like the Dutch, by the way. Not only are we playing them coming up this weekend.
I like old Dutch, though.
Also, wait until you hear what happened in the Netherlands. While we watch from a distance the protest taking place over the policies in China over zero COVID, wait until you hear what's happening to thousands of farms in the Netherlands via the Dutch government because they need to comply with the new EU climate demands. And this is relevant as it relates to what happens here in the state and the policies that Governor Tim Walz wants to implement, especially with the DFL having their trifecta of...
Yeah, special guy here again. Been listening to your soliloquies on marriage and the Freedom to Marry Act. Can't say we didn't see this coming. Only real response to this is yay 2-4. Have a good day.
I'm assuming that's
yay for 24.
24? 2024?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what we're going with?
I don't think anybody... I'd have to look up who was 24 on the U.S. team, but I don't think he was referring to the winner because our star wears number 10, Pulisic.
Sorry, it was cryptic of special guy. Thank you for the talk back, though. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Appearing on Piers Morgan Uncensored on Friday of last week, Dr. Jordan Peterson refuted the idea that social media contributes to tribalism and the polarization of politics. I think it's a little bit of both. I disagree with him a bit on that. But instead, Peterson said that social media incentivizes antisocial and self-promoting behavior among users. Peterson cited a paper in the Psychology Journal on Personality and Individual Differences, which found that certain personality traits led users to spend more time on social media. I don't think we're descending into tribalism, Peterson said. I think what's happening is that the virtualization of the world is enabling people who behave in a particular way, self-aggrandizing, self-promoting, an antisocial way. The article was published in the Journal of Personality and Individual Differences. Among the findings, the paper found that women whose personalities were characterized by traits like narcissism, meanness, extroversion, and sadism used to social media platforms like Instagram for longer and more frequently than men. Women who exhibited sadistic personalities use Facebook for a longer time than women with honest, humble, and conscientious ones. They also used the site for longer than men did. Clearly, I was not a part of this study. What's happening in some sense is that we have a new form of pollution. That's also corporate sponsored and is pollution of the domain of public discourse. Peterson continued, and the pollution occurs because social media companies are either enabling or failing to control those known in the popular parlance as trolls, fans of the show. But they're not just comical trolls using derision in some cute way and having their say in a free speech domain. They're really poisonous individuals and they're poisoning the entire domain. Again, can I mention fans of the show? Peterson called for social media companies to segregate a comment section to filter out the anonymous trolls. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe we can have a segregated comments section on Twitter when Elon Musk makes his new Elon phone. How quickly do you think Elon Musk could put together his new cell phone? I know he's talking about making one. Try to skirt around Apple saying they're going to. Man, this is all. As I'm saying this so blasé, but it really is. I mean, it's just, it's those, that slow walk down the road to oblivion. You have Apple saying, just because Elon Musk took Twitter over, that they're looking at not allowing it on their platform. Why? Just because. Pretty clever, though, because if Elon Musk goes and makes his own cell phone, then they can go after Apple for antitrust violations. My gosh. It's like, you know, the left has created so many different controversies, it's hard to focus on just one. At the end of the interview, Morgan asked Peterson if he would like to be reinstated on Twitter now that CEO Elon Musk is promoting free speech on the site, and Peterson said he wouldn't. It's such a den of pathology that using it, I think, is psychologically damaging. If it's possible for Musk to get the trolls, and they're not trolls, they're psychopathic, sadistic narcissists under control, then it's possible that the platform might be useful. I'd like to share information. I'd like to follow people to see what they're up to. A lot of the people that I've met over the years, but man, it's a snake pit, and it's not obvious to me that we know what to do about it. Look, I still believe it's both. It's the pollution, and it also promotes tribalism and fandoms. But there's also a wealth of information that's available if you use it appropriately. And the one thing that I would say to Peterson on this is, man, exercise the mute function. That's what you need to do. They don't even need to know. Mute them if you don't want to go and block them. In the meantime, let's turn our attention here. We know that Governor Tim Walz has a climate agenda, right? We're seeing our freedoms erode, by the way, just to sort of to set the table here in the closing segment of the show before we get to Robbie's recap. Our eroding freedoms as it relates to the family, as we talked about, right? COVID, what's happening in China, and what the left would still like to do here. Here we have climate change. We know that Governor Tim Walz has already gone and adopted what is going to be a disastrous, potentially leading to blackouts, brownouts, an increase, a sizable increase in your bills, your home and cooling bills, right? We'll look to what's happening in the Netherlands. Another reason why we don't need to be fans of the Dutch, especially with the U.S. taking them on Saturday.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world: people who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch.
Vote. And we can put this under Gone Green update.
It's not easy being green.
Nope.
Having to spend each day.
Energy cost was what I was looking for as it relates to energy costs.
Okay.
Got lost on me there a moment ago. I went with heating and cooling.
You found it.
I did. Took me a minute.
It's okay.
It's a lot of words that get said on this show. Despite the massive protests that took place nationwide of farmers just 5 months ago in the Netherlands, it doesn't matter. The Dutch government plans to shut down thousands of farms to comply with the European Union's demands.
Is this pot farms?
No, it's not.
Is it Amsterdam? It's legal everywhere.
I know. Yeah. No, it could be. I don't know. I doubt it.
I don't know.
The Dutch government plans to buy and close down up to 3,000 farms near environmentally sensitive areas to comply with the EU nature preservation rules. I mean, this is the Netherlands, for crying out loud. We're not talking, I mean, I think too many people look at what's like, you know, that's China, communists, and all that. But, man, it creeps closer and closer and closer, kind of like the coronavirus did. And when you look at what Walz wants to adopt here,
oof,
what they want to do in California,
oof,
again, slippery slope time, guys. They're going to buy and close 3,000 farms. In July, thousands of Dutch farmers protested by building freedom convoys on highways. They blockaded supermarket warehouses, leaving shelf stands empty across the country. The police acted heavy-handedly in quelling the protests, and in one instance, even fired shots at the farmers' convoy. The state-backed emission reduction drive in the Netherlands is part of a more extensive EU climate campaign as Brussels doubles down on its radical globalist agenda despite a record rise in fuel prices across the continent. The UK Telegraph further reported, the Netherlands is attempting to cut down on its nitrogen pollution and will push ahead with compulsory purchases if not enough farms take up the offer voluntarily. Compulsory purchases. The farmers will be offered a deal well over, they say, the worth of the farm, according to the UK's Liberal Telegraph. This is according to the government plan that is targeting the closure of 2,000 to 3,000 farms or other major polluting businesses. The nitrogen minister in the region said there's no better offer coming. This is Christiane van der Waal. She said compulsory purchases would be made with pain in the heart if necessary. My good Lord in heaven. The Netherlands needs to reduce its emissions to comply with the EU conservation rules, and agriculture is responsible for almost half the nitrogen emitted in the proud farming nation. And it won't do any difference as it relates to global warming and climate change. Farmers fear that the plan to slash emissions by 2030, that sounds familiar, will cost them their livelihoods. And they oppose any compulsory purchases and argue that farming is unfairly targeted while other sectors such as aviation are not. I wish I was reading something out of The Onion. I wish I was reading something out of the Babylon Bee. I'm not.
It's not Mad Magazine?
I wish. Let me worry.
Nice.
Farmers lobby group LTO Netherlands said trust in the government has been very low for a long time. You think? It accused the government of drafting restrictions without perspective. Faced with a government-backed climate onslaught, Dutch farmers are organizing themselves politically. They have fielded a new political party called the Boyer Burger Beweging, or BBB, triple B. Or the Farmer Citizen Movement. Founded in 2019, the BBB has succeeded in creating a nationwide footprint in next year's provincial elections, which will also decide representation in the Dutch Senate. So they've got some power here. The left-wing British Daily worried that the new Dutch party could inspire farmers in other European countries to fight back politically. Oh, no. But the rapid rise of a pro-farming party in a country where desperate attempts are underway to cut pollution from livestock farming illustrates the political development that could be replicated elsewhere, observers say. And the leftist fears are well-founded. This year's Dutch protests were backed by farmers in neighboring Germany, with the Germany freedom convoys blocking motorways in a region nearby there. But we're all in this together, as Governor Tim Walz says, right, as he adopts those rules out of California. You know, Robbie, we've been really, let me see if I've got it here. It's been a really heavy show.
It has, and I actually just saw something on Fox News I wanted to throw at you here.
Oh, yeah?
So they just listed the five most annoying slang words.
Oh, I'm seeing this right now.
Yeah.
They got Cat Tim up on the screen. Do you have them?
Yeah, for 2022. Right, we'll
I
do.
Yeah, we can do. Okay, this is better. I had the best time of day to drink a holiday-themed latte. Yours is much better.
Yeah,
so.
I'll throw them at you, and you tell me you've actually texted these to somebody.
Oh, my.
I'm going to go
most annoying slang words.
Well, I know that there's one you've definitely texted to, at least me, but I don't think the other four you've texted to anybody.
Okay.
Bae, B-A-E.
No.
You know what that means. It means your girl or right. Your boyfriend, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I text that to my wife, she's going to be like, what's
hey,
wrong with you?
Hey, bae.
No.
Right. No. Bae is short for bae, I think, baby, right?
I don't care.
Okay. Woke. You've texted that. Yeah. Of course.
I mean,
so that's the automatic.
Yeah, yes, of course, right.
Woke, right. On fleek.
No, I've never used on fleek or... And I've heard that. What does that even... Like, I'm afraid to ask because these slang terms often can be very, you know, not radio friendly. But
it just means it's on point. Like, it's on, stylish.
Okay, the show was on fleek today.
Yeah, there
you go. The show was absolutely on fleek today.
There you go. It just means it's A-OK.
In my opinion, that's the only one that matters.
And two more. Okay, boomer.
No, I mean, annoying. That's kind of old. That's more like.
Apparently.
That's so 2020.
Yeah, well. It was voted as one of the most five annoying slang words of 2022. And
okay, boomer.
I wish I had enough time to pull up this clip, but it's from the movie Friday. It's called Bye Felicia. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, but that one again seems
old. But people. people really use it a lot.
So 2000.
It just means like later, see ya. So bye, Felicia.
Say so 2008 and so 2000 late. That's
yeah.
Just, that's, yeah. Yeah, I can't. All right.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your five most annoying slang words. I did a little recap there, and we're about to get into my other recap.
Well, yeah, and if you were curious, the best time to drink that sugary holiday-themed drink is in the morning.
Oh, okay.
In case you were,
okay, there we go.
In case you were.
We're a bastion of information.
In case you were curious about that. At least, you know, our holiday flavors are legitimate, like peppermint, gingerbread, eggnog. Right, those are actually real flavors. Okay, I love pumpkin spice, but that's not a real flavor.
I'm as big a fan of peppermint flavored things as you are pumpkin spice.
Yeah, I'm down with, yeah.
That peppermint milkshake that comes around Christmas time at Chick-fil-A is delectable.
My wife makes a peppermint bark on the holidays.
Oh, really?
That is just absolutely amazing.
I've had edible peppermint bark. It was the strongest edible I've ever had in my life. I was passed down on the couch for 8 hours.
What is unedible peppermint? I mean, is it like a peppermint tree?
No, edible.
Well, I know.
Oh, what is it? No. I just meant edible as in a infused edible.
Oh, you went there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Look at Robbie this morning.
Yes. And this is a long time ago. But right. It just reminded me, peppermint bark.
Josh,
not Ghirardelli, but close.
Just passing from the vaping studio.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All right, please, guys, please.
Anyway. The 6 a.m. hour, we went over the five things you need to know in Robbie's Rundown, including stories on new legislation locally on guns, maybe passing federally on same-sex marriage legislation passing, and the U.S. gets it done in the World Cup over Iran. In the 7 a.m. hour, we talked about ranked choice voting, spoke with Representative Tom Emmer on China, GOP investigations in 2023, and the lame duck session, followed by a brief discussion over new gun legislation on the table here in Minnesota with the head of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, Rob Dorr. In the 8 a.m. hour, we spoke about same-sex marriage laws again being a slippery slope and talked more about gun laws as well. And we just gave you the five annoying slang words for 2022. If you missed any of today's program, bae, listen to the podcast at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com or download it wherever you consume your audio.
On tomorrow's show, we will get into a bit of what's happening in China, because much like we were talking about with what's going on with the Netherlands, we should be concerned about what's happening. There's one former leader of the Tiananmen Square protest who actually thinks that these protests might lead to the collapse of the CCP.
Wow.
I'm not holding my breath. But, before we get too doom and gloom, perhaps there is some hope. Also, from Fox News, one Katie Pavlich will be joining us.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to talking with Katie. Oh, my gosh, it's December tomorrow, huh?
Her and I were both drinking Diet Cokes this morning. How about that?
Not doing peppermint bark edibles?
No, definitely not. Not the way I feel.
Hey, be careful while you're out in the roads today. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. We're back at it tomorrow at 6:05. Have a great one. Bye.
Bye, Felicia. I want equal
opportunity to live tomorrow. From the Paul Bunyan Plumbing and Drains Traffic Center, I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look at the roads. Plenty of congestion out there this morning. 694 westbound will start backing up just after Highway 36 over towards Rice Street. Westbound Highway 36, a slow go as well from Highway 61 over to 35W. Eastbound 84 into downtown Minneapolis. Delays running just after Broadway Avenue on your way into the Lowry Hill Tunnel. Currently at 16 degrees. Your next report's in 10 minutes on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and FM 103.5. This report is sponsored by Blindster.com.
Want to save 50% on new blinds? Blindster offers custom-made blinds, shades, and shutters shipped to you at prices less than big-box retailers. And right now, save 50% off any order during Blindster's Cyber Monday sale. Hurry, sale ends December 1st. Blindster.com.